Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for the 2 and 13th year of Artaxerxes, king, 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and of the oil unto the treasuries, and I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites Pedaiah, and next to him was Hanan the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us, and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards from the priests and Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Don't you just want to stand up and cheer for Nehemiah? What a great guy. A guy that was so concerned about the consistency in application of God's word that he didn't care where he had to go to do it. Now that's a good example. He was a magistrate. He was a ruler. He was a leader, a governor in the land. And so he used his office not to increase his own power base, to send out his network, not to pad his kitty and inflate his bank account, which so many do today to their grief. They will stand before the Lord and give an account for that. Nehemiah seems mindful that he will stand before the Lord and give an account. Three times in this passage he says, remember me, O my God. Right? And in that there is deficiency within Israel, notice the responsibility that he takes in the second of those confessions. I don't know if you heard it or not, but in the second of those confessions, remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Some have taken Nehemiah's words in this 13th chapter and they've said, well, you see, the religion of Old Testament Israel was a religion of works. Not so. It had been perverted to become a religion of works. But faithful Jews understood the mercy and grace of God. They believed the gospel. They worshipped a Messiah to come. And so here Nehemiah then is prosecuting a few different things that have taken place. First of all, the house of God, his zeal for the house of God. And so Eliashib, the high priest, has had an alliance with Tobijah. Well, you remember him. He's the wicked guy who didn't want them to build the wall. And he had his own little apartment in the temple of the Lord. So Nehemiah says, we can fix that. And so you can just picture him throwing the stuff out of the apartment, just throwing it out into the street. Get that stuff out of here. It doesn't belong in here. What are we thinking? And so we see then a right use of the holy things, that we ought not to profane the holy things of the Lord. His word, the sacraments, the worship. We ought not to profane the holy things of the Lord. And when they are profaned, what a grief it is, and what an accusation, and what a shame it is for the people of God when the holy things of God are profaned. This was the place where they kept the stuff, the offerings for the Levites and the priests. And so we see that one bad deed leads to another bad deed. Because Tobijah was there and they weren't keeping stock in store for the Levites and the priests, the Levites and the priests had fled to their own tracts of land so that they could make a living. And Nehemiah says, why have they gone? Why aren't we supporting them like we should be? Why is the worship of God suffering? Because we have not provided for the Levites as we ought. Of course, this is carried directly into the New Testament. We are required as a people to support our ministers, that they should be free to partake of the study, the learning, the prayer, the meditation, the preparation that is requisite for teaching the Word of God. Remember what the apostles said to the multitude. It is not meet that we should leave these things to serve tables. And so the diaconate then was erected by the apostles for a perpetual office, to be assistants to those who would devote themselves to the Word of God in prayer. All right, so we have the temple, the ministry, and now the Sabbath day. All right, and on the Sabbath day, Nehemiah finds that there are people that come into Jerusalem every Lord's Day, and what are they doing? They're buying and selling food. Brothers and sisters, I just don't know how people in our day and age, if they want to be Sabbath keepers, that any kind of profession of the Sabbath day at all, can, in light of this scripture, say it's okay to go out to eat on the Sabbath day. I just don't know how it can be done. That is exactly the issue that is addressed in this passage. If we would keep the Sabbath day, we would not buy and sell food. Pretty clear. And yet there are those who would say, oh, it's okay. In fact, restaurants like to open next door to churches these days because they know that, or they hope that they'll get a good business on Sunday afternoons. People going out to eat after church. Well, that's in direct contradiction to the spirit, the commandment of the Sabbath day that the Lord has set here. And Nehemiah, again, does the part of a hero as a magistrate in not only shutting the gates so that they could not come in, but by chasing them off of the wall. Get out of here! You don't belong here. I'm giving you one last warning, and if I catch you here again, I'm going to lay hands on you. By the way, he's not talking about ordination. He's talking about bringing them in and putting them in the stocks, putting them in some kind of, or bringing them under some kind of punishment. So they carried burdens, they bought and sold V-I-C-T-U-A-L-S. Look it up, vittles. That's how it's pronounced. I know, Pastor Riddell, can't pronounce that word as victuals. No, it's not. It's vittles. Look it up. All right, so then he reminds them of how a violation of the Sabbath day or a systematic disregard of the Lord's Sabbaths was the cause in the first place for them being carried away captive. A systematic violation of the Sabbath day brought them what? Judgment. You want to do that again? Nehemiah says, we've already been down that road. And so we learn the principle then of learning from our former mistakes. Learning from others' mistakes. I often tell people in my industry when I'm speaking to them about doing something in the electrical trade, I'll say, don't make that mistake. I've already made that one. Let me help you there. Go ahead and make your own. Let me help you with the ones I've made. You might have to make some more on your own. Right? All right. And then the last thing is racially. And in those days, the Lord had commanded that the Moabites, the Ammonites, should not be in the temple. And they had polluted the priesthood in that the priests had intermarried with such folks as well. Well, that did not belong. That was against the commandment of the Lord. And so as a consistent application of the commandments of God, Nehemiah says, we're not going to do that either. Brothers and sisters, these are the kind of Christians we ought to be. Those who would have a consistent application, line upon line, precept upon precept, desiring with all of our hearts to serve the Lord by obeying Him. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. All right, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 84.